Avi Adoni Dodi. We enter into this study to draw close to you for the sake of holy service and the fulfillment of your will for us and for all of Israel and for this entire planet. Please assist our efforts and guide our understandings. Let us internalize your Torah to the depths of our being so that we become transformed by your will and its truths. Let neither ourselves nor anyone else come into stumbling as a result of this study. Gal enai va'abita nifla'ot me'toratecha.
Amen.
I forgot to mention, though, I did go on this retreat. Did I mention that?
No.
It was an organization called SHARE. They're the ones that came in like in the last minute and underwrote the Purim High Council last year. And so they are, their mission statement is that they want to spread the Pnimiut HaTorah, like the mystical inner secrets of the Torah, to kind of make them more available to the masses, so to speak. And so they did an event for men last year. And so they did an event for women where they invited 36 women scholars to a three-day retreat discussion together. And in this very fancy hotel in Jerusalem, where most of the rooms had a private hot tub and a swimming pool. A heated swimming pool that you could, it was amazing. And they said that it just, they want to show kavod, honor, like they want to really give honor to all these people, these women that have dedicated themselves so intensively to Torah study and Torah teaching. It was really quite moving. And they had a whole schedule.
And how'd you do?
I had a hot tub in a swimming pool.
Incredible.
Really, it was amazing. Just a private one, nobody else.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
I've never yeah. heard of such a thing.
I
that's
know, I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds yeah. healing.
That's and amazing.
Are there things from that you learn that you can, you know, include in our teachings in terms of this mass?
Yeah, well, a lot of it was really and it was interesting. I thought, oh, this is going to be boring. It was like discussion groups with a topic we were given and then to discuss. But it was so fascinating. I mean, everyone had such interesting things to say. And, you know, it was really a pleasure, I must say, to just meet all these. Most of the people I didn't know. And to meet all these people the point of it really was not so much an exchange of information among the people, but a think tank kind of programs or how to like translate that mission statement into actual efforts, you know, people efforts below. So we're still kind of in the middle of that. There was some, you know, like I suggested as curriculum, like the Still Small Voice Correspondence School, which is, you know, kind of lends itself to that. And also there's a couple students who are working very studying with someone called Michaela or something like that, about how to create like kind of groups that are greater than the sum of its parts and become, I don't know, kind of are able to access the resource of the group that often gets lost otherwise. And it sounds really kind of amazing. It almost sounds like the next frontier of like we've been involved in like the kind of the mission of the last maybe decade is to actualized potential, like self, me, I, like kind of to figure out who we are and what our special talent is and contribute and make a contribution, what's our contribution and all that. And then, like, so we kind of have pressed ourselves out more or less. And now to figure out how to reconnect with a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts, like to really join back up with the clow, with the group, and to kind of take that next step together of how, what can we do now as a group that we couldn't do as an individual. And so that's kind of what we're kind of focusing on now. And it's such an interesting question, I must say. And there is this, a couple of the students are studying with this woman who wrote a book about groups and how to, like, how, like, like almost like that there's a certain, just like, when a baby's born, there's an assumption that they're going to have two legs, two arms, like there's just things that are givens. So also there are certain kind of roles that as the group is this size and then this size and then this size, that certain roles get like just not, people aren't conscious of it, but they assume certain roles that kind of play out in the group. And if you don't know what's happening, it can really like the group, the Sunday, I mean the third meal group at my house on Shabbat, it's like women, it just get they get into like knots of like the ten like t tension comes into often like one dyad in the group, and it ends up really, if you don't know how to deal with it, which I don't really, I mean, I have my common sense, but I'm sure it's not the wisest way. It hasn't seemed to work. So, but how to
Untie those
anticipate
knots.
that, and yeah, and find a way to work with it so that it really even adds to the group rather than detract. Yeah. And so it's really exciting. I mean, I think it's a very exciting area of exploration that I'm looking forward to being part of.
What's her name? That's the woman who wrote the book.
It's something like Michaela or
Victoria.
something
I
like
don't know the
that.
last name. Because there's something like this happening in the bigger world. And it's actually called the holo, like whole movement, holo movement.
Hers is something about matrix. It's something about matrix in it.
And so I'm just wondering, like one of the friends here is one of the coordinators of that holo movement. And we every month it start it has they've had like four big waves of conferences. Last one, first one was in Sedona, Ibiza, Asheville. The next one next May is in Portugal. And it's international and it's all about oneness, connecting together. And the conference I went to in Asheville was kind of extraordinary. The plenary sessions, they were like really preeminent, like I hadn't ever been to a conference like that before. And there's Jewish and non-Jewish and but it sounds like there's a similar focus trying to create a one consciousness that can
Yeah,
help
like an
lift up the
organism.
world, an organism that can lift up the world.
And
That's what they're working on.
the woman who is kind of, it's her teachings that they're studying is not Jewish. It's not a Jewish
Oh, so Michaela's not Jewish.
No.
That's interesting.
If you can at some point send us her name or
Her
so we
last name.
can, yeah. Thank
Hey,
you.
that'd be great.
Excuse me. I just looked up something. Michaela Kolbe, KLBE, the Cambridge Handbook of Group Interaction Analysis.
Whoa. mean,
Does that
that's
sound like anything?
is that her last name?
I just put in a bunch of like Mikaelia, group dynamics, matrix.
Yeah, but
Did
did
you put
anything come
matrix?
up with matrix?
Yeah, matrix would be what I would think.
Yeah, potentially linking to the matrix concept. Okay, maybe that isn't it.
Well, that sounds close.
That could be.
Yeah.
It sounds right.
Room.
Right, yes. And it says it's more a collection of like books. Yeah, and well, anyway, I'll keep looking and you'll keep remembering. We'll...
If you could find out her last name, that might be interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up
That
as
would
we
help.
speak, Colby.
Colby
Great.
sounds so Jewish, actually. That's it.
Yeah, but I had a friend named Magdalena Shapiro, so
Can't tell by that.
yeah. In today's world, yes, it sounds Jewish because, but on the other hand, yeah, the
Well,
person is like a Samoan Korean Baptist or something.
reminds me of my sister when I was visiting her. I mean, this was a long time ago, but she had this book called Kabbalah for Pagans. Okay, so I think we are we did we do the narcissistic supply inventory? I think that's where we stopped after that. Does that do you recall? Wait, let me just share. Dark Matters of the Soul. Window view page enable scrolling. Okay, so does anyone have a recollection of the practice? Okay, so we are Mars disappeared, but okay, so we're in the practical tools for processing shame. That's the section that we're in. And there are like three categories of practices. One is attitude changing practices, which is really just more to change your attitude, like by kind of reading a couple a story about our own Moshe's brother, the Kohen Gadol, and another example of science that kind of should jolt your assumptions a little bit to understand that maybe shame does have something to it. Maybe it really is a kind of essential in like it that Hashem created it because we need it, and it is spiritually productive in its way. And those were stories and examples that kind of argued to that effect and were pretty persuasive in terms of the transformation that the proper processing of shame can produce inside the psyche, the humility and the spaciousness that like that our own being the example of that, the role model of that was, positively transformed in such a way that he was able to step into the role of Kohen Gadol, of high priest, and kind of be the representative of the Jewish people vis-a-vis their relationship with Hashem. And so that was the first, like in terms of practical tools for processing shame, that attitudinal change is the first one, first practice that we explore, quote unquote practice that we explored. And then the second one was the proactive or preactive practices that are kind of daily or are just regular practices of that it will increase self-awareness, because that's a critical element to being able to work with shame in a productive way. And so we looked at the meditation practices. Just regular meditation itself is a dedicating time to just listening in. That is a practice that will definitely support and contribute to one's measure of self-awareness, which is extremely helpful in terms of heading shame off at the pass. But it also, we looked at that it's not just meditation as a practice, which is great in and of itself, but also paying attention, the practice of labeling or of paying attention to the negative spaces of meditation, the place where your mind wanders. Like, meditation is a continuous flow of thought on a particular object or point of focus. And then the effort is to try to hold your mind or attention on that focus, which is impossible to do. And so your mind wanders and you come back and wanders and you come back. Basic meditation is just that. And you don't really give any t attention to where your mind wandered to. But there's also a practice where you kind of actually do give some attention to where your mind wanders, as an opportunity to, because you're sitting and you're just listening in to yourself, really, and you begin to get a glimpse of your thought habits. Like, where do you tend to go when you lose your meditative focus? Is it do you start are like the thoughts that come up, or the self-talk that comes up, is it kind? Is it shaming? Is it critical? Is it embracing? Is it spiritually productive, or is it self-destructive? Is it judgmental? Is it like, what's your habit of thought? As I always say, what's your you begin to get a glimpse of, day after day or week after week of giving some attention to that. You begin to see what your lineage of neuroses is, so to speak, like what your thought habits are, both the productive ones and the unproductive ones. And so that's the and that that information, again, is extremely helpful, will become extremely helpful in working with shame, with, first of all, anticipating it, or being able to see it from afar and do a keto move that, keeps it at bay, or embracing it and using that information to make productive changes in life and thought habits and things like that. And then the next proactive practice that we looked at was the narcissistic supply inventory. Now, did we do that in this class? I can't remember. Does it sound familiar? Does it not sound?
I don't think we did it.
Okay. So,
Because I'd like to know more about it.
yeah, right. So it's a very important, I mean, tool, really, to, whoops, wait a minute. Okay, so it's a kind of meditative journaling, and it's called narcissistic supply inventory. I'm gonna read from the concept of narcissistic supply. Refers to all the things that validate us, that make us feel special, important, good, beautiful, relevant, desirable, admirable, successful, worthy of attention, and significant. Just as we need food, air, water, and shelter, so do we human beings need a staple of narcissistic supply. Right? No shame. It's a survival need. No blame. Yet we can learn a lot about ourselves. Like the fact that we need narcissistic supply is just, it's just human. It's just how we're constructed, and there's nothing to be ashamed about. It's not a bad thing. Yet we can learn a lot about ourselves by paying attention to how we manage this legitimate need. The sources we tap for a dose of its uplift. These are some questions to ask ourselves. Where do I turn for my narcissistic supply? Are its sources stable, or sporadic? How do I pin it down? Does it come primarily from inside or outside, from self or others? Like, am I able to give my, comfort myself and provide my own narcissistic supply if need be? Or do I, how much of my narcissistic supply comes that way, and how much comes from needing to receive it from others? Is there a portion that comes from Hashem? Does it flow naturally, or do I manipulate situations in order to grab attention or claim undue credit? Do my deeds, these are kind of hard questions to ask oneself. Do my deeds genuinely evoke praise and gratitude? Or do I throw a tantrum which forces people to focus on me? Does my narcissistic supply come from doing good or from creating drama? Am I more passive aggressive? Do I secure my narcissistic supply by getting moody or withdrawing? Or maybe it comes from making people afraid of me, afraid of my anger or tears or tantrums or disappearance. And furthermore, what do I do when a source of narcissistic supply, I wrote this many way before, but this is definitely the situation for me right now. And furthermore, what do I do when a source of narcissistic supply shuts down or even reverses and starts shaming instead of stroking? How do I respond to that when, for example, a relationship ends, or my investments collapse, or my art goes unreviewed, or an injury ends my athletic career, or my children don't need me in the same way anymore, or my beauty is fading along with my youth, or my opinions no longer make news? How do I handle these ego deflating upsets? How do I compensate? This information, this narcissistic supply inventory, is a powerful tool to assess our emotional health and spiritual integrity. Narcissistic supply is essential to quality of life. It is not bad. It is nothing to be ashamed of. Everyone needs it. Among other things, it's a counterforce to shame. When a wave of shame sweeps through, we turn to our trusty providers of narcissistic supply to soothe the distress, to assure us that despite our failing, we are still liked, admired, desired, forgiven, etc. It's a legitimate and universal human need. Of course, there are, but this is the key. Of course, there are more functional and less functional ways to grab hold of narcissistic supply. Ideally, there's a trail of love, accomplishments, or merits that we can draw from in these moments that vouch for our worth, that prove it even. But that is not always the case. At the other extreme, criminals report that they've never felt as respected as when holding a gun to someone's head. The attention they received was, for them, the pinnacle of narcissistic supply and ego gratification. They were important, powerful, and godlike, the center of attention and object of obeisance. The ultimate source of narcissistic supply, and from a spiritual perspective, its ideal, is to draw our self-worth straight from Hashem. In that account, an espat, oh wait, no, I'm not going to read that. I read that before. A spiritual path is a quest for Dvekut, for close, wait, did I read, wait a minute. What just happened here? Okay, wait. Did I read this? At the other extreme, yeah. Criminals report? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sarah, you need, I just want to say there's something about this work that even if you did read it a second ago, it like...
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
I'm sorry.
That's
AI talking to me.
Right.
Yeah, but I just mean
I recognize her voice.
Yeah, that's so funny. Who knew, Siri? No, but I'm just saying the impact of what you read, it's like never enough. So do not hesitate to read it again and again and again.
Okay, thank you. So
and
okay,
I don't think we've read about, I don't think we've read about, you know, narcissistic supply, you know, drawing our self-worth from Hashem and the quest for Devekut, because we're going to move into that with Ruach HaKodesh.
Right.
But I don't think we've gone there yet
right.
in terms of Devekut. So this is great. Keep going.
Okay, so I'm going to read this paragraph again then. At the other extreme, criminals report that they've never felt as respected as when holding a gun to someone's head. The attention they received was for them the pinnacle of narcissistic supply and ego gratification. They were important, powerful, and godlike, the center of attention and object of obeisance. The ultimate source of narcissistic supply, and from a spiritual perspective, its ideal is to draw our self-worth straight from Hashem. I'm going to skip this story because we read it already. A spiritual path is a quest for Dvekut, for closeness with Hashem. Divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, is the fruit of that deepening encounter. To be a fitting channel for this exalted goal, we must become a master of narcissistic supply, immune to flattery and insult. Self-worth then comes from one thing alone. Do the thoughts of my heart and the deeds of my life praise God? Anybody have anything they want to say? Or
read that? Can you read that last sentence?
Yeah. Let's see.
Thoughts of my heart.
Yeah. Self-worth, okay, wait. To be a fitting channel for this exalted goal, we must become a master of narcissistic supply, immune to flattery and insult. Self-worth then comes from one thing alone. Do the thoughts of my heart and the deeds of my life praise God?
And the deeds of my
life.
Praise God.
So it's a question.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's, you know, to really, you know, like self-examine, how do I negotiate my need for narcissistic supply? And is it, am I straight with that or am I manipulative?
Right.
And it's also, you know, kind of, oh, like if once you get the language of narcissistic supply, and so you're hanging out with people that know about narcissistic supply, then you can kind of banter about it, and it becomes, it's like the awareness, it becomes no shame, just like, uh-oh, you're calling me on my like if someone's taking more, like in a group, someone's taking more narcissistic supply than is right, you can kind of, you have a language to kind of mention it in a way that won't necessarily be taken as offense.
You're like you're bogarting
Right,
the
right.
narcissistic
That's a good one, Abby.
and nobody will feel offended.
I yeah, so anything to say about this? Or I mean, it really, I do really think that it's an important exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, though, isn't it, am I straight or is it manipulative? I mean, it's really clear how when people are doing it in a way of either using anger or, having people be afraid of them or, but even if we're doing it gracefully, and not even necessarily with the thought of getting narcissistic supply. If we're saying
Being a people
something,
pleaser, you mean that kind of thing?
yeah, I mean, I guess it's all manipulative on one level, even if we're not consciously manipulating. But if the idea is to get enough narcissistic supply, then, and it's a normal, natural need, human need. But you're saying what the shift is, getting it from the world versus moving to just really getting it from Hashem.
Well, no, the shift, I mean, that it's like, I think that we need to be able to give it to ourselves. I think we
Yeah.
need to be able to get it from the people, the loving relationships around us, and also from Hashem, like three
Yes.
streams of narcissistic supply.
And that's healthy.
And what was I was just going to say something about what you just said about what was it?
So that just like there's narcissism and healthy narcissism, there's manipulating narcissistic supply and healthy, right? No,
Right.
manipulating narcissistic supply.
Right. I mean, like I bring in the book and in the shame book earlier that that Freud says that all ambition,
Yeah.
comes from the motive to, it's kind of, you could say the motive to avoid shame, or you could say the desire, the need for a narcissistic supply, like
Right.
it's and so that's, I mean, I think in those, like, good deeds or creative whatever accomplishments,
Right.
that all three of them can happen. We can, it could be something that's pleasing to Hashem, that we feel good about also, and that the world acknowledges from us. Like it's, and that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Like, I mean, it's interesting to kind of go through your day and look at the decisions, how you spent your time based on their promise of narcissistic supply. Like there is a certain, like they talk about how, this, and not, I hope this isn't offensive, but They talk, and I even saw an interesting TED talk in a movie about it, about how monkeys really have a sense of what's fair. Like when they see the guy next door getting a banana and they're just getting a little cornflake, they get angry about it and they throw the cornflake out the cage and all that. Like meaning that there's, it's a kind of primal level, that sense of
Justice.
being, yeah, and get, being get, getting the gift, you know, getting something. And so there is like a certain primal level in the psyche that is, we're not even aware of it, but is measuring like kind of what of these options is going to give me the most narcissistic supply. And you know, lo and behold, finding ourselves choosing that way to spend the hour instead of another. It just, it's a kind of primal level of assessment, narcissistic supply. It can also be conscious, but it also is happening on that really more primal level of psyche as well.
Yeah, I think it's really about finding or acknowledging self-worth, but the Hashem angle, I guess, is that it has to be real. So, for example, if I find I only feel, I mostly feel self-worth when I talk about other people and their failings. So, yes, I am feeling self-worth, but it's really not true. And that's the Hashem piece is
It's
that I the Hashem, is that do I if I investigate and meditate, I'll realize there really is no self-worth. It was momentary pleasure at having the proper insult at the time or the juicy bit of gossip. But honestly, it didn't build. It's phony.
It is, there are, you know, it is interesting. It's a kind of, it's a, I would call it a perverse pleasure, the pleasure of someone else's shame, and of like there are, I mean, I think maybe we talked about this, but you know, once you get into this headspace, you see that there are certain people that are really shamers. Like they just like every sentence they say it in a way. I brought to do if we get there, an interesting. I pulled it down from the internet, like a sentence that you could say that is a shaming sentence, and a way to say that same thing that isn't shaming. And
Right,
it's
absolutely.
interesting. It's really interesting. But yeah, there are, and I would, and it does seem like the shamer, like there is a certain pleasure, like a certain like spark of something that is a kind of perverse pleasure from causing someone shame.
The paragraph, what is it when you're talking about the next step is to explore the whys and wherefores of where the heck did it go? It's sort of when if you let's say you're at a meeting or you're in a political group and you really get set off by some people's comments or opinions. Yeah, that's it. What is it about them that irritates or repels me? So I'm at a meeting and I'm listening to this person go on and on and on about something that I just think is so stupid. So that's the moment, right? What is it about me? What is it about them that makes me sit there and listen? They are so stupid. How? Now, I don't even have to say anything to them. We've all been, it's those moments when you bite your tongue, you know. But that's so interesting. Even then, my ego is involved. Note
Mm-hmm.
when the ego gets irritated, impatient, frustrated.
Right. That's
You don't have, like,
kind of
that's a
change.
cue I never would have thought to identify as part of this process. That's my ego. What is it? What's going on here?
Right.
But I think it could also be a sense of justice if you're hearing people, I'm just talking politically now, talking about things that feel like it's an injustice.
But I'll
That
never hear
has.
that word again without thinking of the banana and the cornflake, because that is a primal sense of injustice. I don't think the monkey's
Gotcha.
ego's involved.
Right. I mean, it's
Justice.
quite amazing to watch the film where the to see how it, you know, or and how the monkey counts that this one had three somethings, three cherries, and this one, and he only got one, and so or two, or you know, it's it there is it's just a primal sense of fairness and magia lanu, and it's we deserve. I deserve.
Yeah, I interrupted you, Abby, because you were saying about like, what if I gather, I think you were talking about like, what if it's real? What if you feel they're just slamming people
Yeah,
unnecessarily?
or there's an injustice or a danger to others and what they're saying, then it, I mean, from a voice dialogue perspective, when people are shaming, Siri, you were talking about people who shame people. Oftentimes, it's people who do that who have anxiety, and the critic, the outer judge, is in force. You know, that's caused by anxiety, oftentimes, or having upbringing from parents who are critical. But, you know, I was just thinking, it's like there's certain, I'd say, levels of consciousness, right, where our narcissistic supply comes from different places. So for like the housewives of Beverly Hills, their narcissistic supply comes from having money and material possessions, right? And I think as we go up the consciousness ladder, what we get narcissistic supply from
Evolve.
shifts, it evolves. So like in the work I do as a psychologist, right? My helping people gives me a sense of narcissistic supply, right? That's,
But it's not just that. It's also service and mission and
Yeah,
purpose.
that's what I mean. Service and mission and doing what, in doing God's work or making the world a better place is at another level, but that we get narcissistic supply from doing that as opposed to some of the lower levels of, I'm making a judgment here about lower levels of consciousness, but
And I think it's okay. I think it's just
true.
true. Yeah, just true.
But it is great when what we're getting narcissistic supply from is doing God's work.
That's like ideally that our life leaves, leaves a trail of good deeds and positive change and transformation that is good for the world and also good for oneself.
And for the other person, right? Men.
Does anyone have a succinct little definition of God's work? Like, I'm sure
Making
there's a
the world a better place.
Kabbalistic. Say that again.
Tikkun Olam, making the world a better place. Is that anybody else want to?
I would say like the most spiritually productive option in any given moment. And it's kind of a little bit of a guessing game often what that is, like what Like, for example, I'm sure it comes up in your work of is the most spiritually productive thing to just give positive encouragement to this person wherever they are on their path? Or is it, do I need to maybe point out like a something that's might be a little bit hard for them to hear? Or
Or
it,
both
yeah.
at
Yeah.
different times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how to like what's which is the most spiritually productive response, action or response or
Each moment,
posture
right?
in each moment.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with that one in that, like, I have a client who's 84 and has always been a dependent personality, but wonderful woman, great heart. Able to, have a golden tongue, and she just can't be alone. She lives alone, and it's so hard for her. So there's a part of me that goes over there to help her, focus on whatever we're working on, but also just to be able to have somebody there with her. And then there's a part of me that goes, okay, how much of that is enabling? And how much of that is really in the highest, most spiritually productive?
Right. So how do you sort that out? That's a perfect, that's a great example.
Yeah. And I work really hard on trying to find her a living companion. So that she does have somebody there all the time, who not even all the time, but somebody there at night, so she's not afraid and she's not isolated. And until that can happen, I'll go over there probably more than I normally would. Like, I'll call her every night because I'm the only one. Yeah, so it's an interesting, just to check in, not for a long time, but just to see how she's doing, because I'm the only one she shares really what's going on for her.
So
So,
the phone calls don't become another session per se. They're just
no, it's not a whole session. It's just a, I'll add them all up to be a session, in terms of charging, but Medicare. But yeah, so it's finding that balance. And yet she has family, so while she's with family right now, I'm not calling her. She probably would love me to be calling her, but I'm not calling her because she's there with her family. So finding that balance is always
I mean, that's Ruach HaKodesh is the being able to sort out
yeah, make
those
that
kinds of
discernment.
things. Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
Right. I had an interesting experience with Ruach HaKodesh where having too much narcissistic supply feels like ego. Do you know what I mean? It's like it was an interesting, because in this holo movement group, they also have ripples. Every geographic area has a support group happening. And they have a part of that is called a miracle club. And people get together to talk about miracles. And my experience was so interesting because of the Ruach HaKodesh experience I had with Serve Your Soul.
Oh, no, wait, no, what? I'm not, I don't remember.
No, so I recently, just a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden I had an experience of just hearing. It wasn't my ego. I mean, it wasn't my ego. It wasn't my mind. It wasn't my intuition. I heard the words, serve your soul. Yeah. And I went, at first I went, what does that mean? And then my next thought was, because, my first book, my only book, I got the title. It was like another download from the universe, right? That, finally the universe just said, let's just give her the title so she could finally get this book written. It only took me 20 years. And then my second thought was, oh no, is this a title for the next book I'm supposed to be writing? But it felt like it was more about, at least right now, more about that being a focus. Soul isn't mainstream yet, and it needs to be. It's the only part of us that continues on after we're gone, right? So I felt like the universe was saying, please get that message out there to serve our soul. I mean, serve your soul. And then I told a friend who's a soul astrologer, and she said, that's great. It's like serve our soul. It's an SOS.
Oh, that's great.
That great? So that's what I've been talking about, is about our soul. And then I started talking to my soul, which I'd never done before. And the first time I did it, I started crying. And I went, what is that about? And so, like, I did the, in the third chapter of my book, I talk about, connecting with our emotions, how to, there's a tool for finding out what you're really feeling. And when I did that, I felt like it wasn't my tears, it was the tears of my soul being so happy and grateful that I was finally connecting with her.
That is really something, Abby. That is
It
so
was
beautiful.
wonderful. And then she's told me things since then, like, trust yourself. I get these messages, or you are enough. And I feel like it's messages for every, for all of us. But it was such a great experience, because when I went to the mirror, because I could feel my ego kind of getting into it a little bit, which didn't feel so good. And when I went to the miracle group, it was so nice, because what I heard was all these people were having miracles. That's what the club is about, sharing what our miracles are. And that felt better. It felt like it was like too much it wasn't meant for narcissistic supply somehow. The experience wasn't meant for my ego. It was meant for me to do the work we're here to do. Right? And so it was a blessing to hear other people, because it took it away from the ego then. It's like, yeah, that's awesome and it's
Meaning, like,
wonderful. And
you're not so special because
I'm not so
everyone
special.
has.
Everybody's having these experiences, right?
Interesting. Nice.
Yeah. So I guess there's a time when there's too much narcissistic supply or something there. Yeah, so that was an interesting. Anyway, enough of me.
No, that's something. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah, so that's when I started doing keynotes about soul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm talking to people about soul. Yeah.
But keynotes, you mean conversations, or keynotes meaning like
Like speaking gigs,
speaking
like at
gig?
one of the Ripples, I was asked to do like a presentation, and
Oh,
that's what I
nice.
talked about, was serve your soul. Yeah, serve our
And
soul.
so, is it really true that soul isn't mainstream yet anymore?
I don't think it's mainstream yet. I think it's coming. But when I heard those words, serve your soul, that was like new for me, to focus on serving my, like, it's really, that's what the important part of us. And I don't think mainstream is there.
I mean, I
Right?
think that also answers Bhatia's question of what is doing God's work, serving your soul. I mean, serving the soul seems like that's
Yeah.
pretty.
And the whole reason I know that soul exists is the experience I had with my mom, right? At 4 months after she passed away, right? The Carib is no substitute for chocolate experience. So it's just such a blessing that I had that experience, because now I know soul really exists. It's not, right? Something made up. Yeah.
And Abby, you've read Thomas More's Care of the Soul? Yeah, because
Yeah,
that's a
and I'll
book
go
of
ahead.
time,
What is that? I don't know it. What is
Oh,
it?
he's a Jungian analyst, and the book's about 20 years old, but it's a beautiful book. It's the most beautiful rendering on the soul, because he never defines it. He circumnavigates it. He explores it. Because he said, not definable. It's not definable. It's so sacred. If you haven't read the book, I can't recommend it enough. It's the most beautiful to your point, Abby, I mean, the most
Yeah.
beautiful book on the soul that I've,
What's it called?
Care
The
of the
Care
Soul.
of the Soul.
Care of the Soul. Write that down.
It'd be interesting to go back and read that now, from the experience I've had. Because I think creating practices for people to be able to experience their soul would be interesting to see what he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, seems like Heat Bow to Do It is a good entry into, which is a kind of conversational prayer meditation where you're talking to your soul or you're talking to Hashem. You can kind of formulate it like in the 12th step, you're talking to your higher power, whatever that is. And it does seem like that will connect your soul.
Does that feel like the higher, because there you're talking to your higher self or your inner self. Is that the same as the soul?
I think it's good.
Might be.
I think it's likely. Yeah.
Might be.
What just happened to my answer?
Yeah, we see your still small voice tree.
Right. Let me stop share.
So I also want to mention, I haven't had time to quite do this yet, but it's on the top of my to-do list to send everybody the dates so that we could all pay you by the end of the year.
Okay. That would be good. I got $11,000 stolen
I know
from
that's did you
PayPal.
ever figure out what happened or how to get it back?
We're still working on it. It's still like they keep saying no and we keep saying yes, and it's a real, I don't know what's going to be in the end, but
And are you doing that through your bank or through?
the bank, see, only part of it impinged upon the bank. The bank was immediately like forthcoming. Like they just, without another, like it, within 24 hours, they had kind of reimbursed, like basically it was about $15,000. And there's still 10,000 out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. That's terrible.
And did they know how it happened?
Happened, right?
PayPal?
No, I mean, I don't know if they do. They haven't told us, and I have no idea. I mean, it was, like these strange names. I mean, it just seemed like it should have been flagged, like, and suddenly, like the PayPal account itself is basically like $50 to $100 in, out. It basically, that's the primary amount as they even assessed it themselves. And then suddenly there's like someone who's taking 4,500 and then 3,000 and then Great Britain pounds and then and big amounts, it's
Wow.
and with these
Wow.
crazy names, like I don't know.
Yeah. And PayPal didn't catch it.
No.
And PayPal's not willing to pay you back.
So far, no.
But
That's terrible.
you weren't getting PayPal notifications or
No.
wow.
Yeah. The PayPal, yeah.
Yeah, because when I like
You get
transfer
no.
money from PayPal to my bank account, and I don't have very much either, but I get a notification, your transfer has gone through, so it's
Right, so
weird.
the transfer probably went to the P that it was called a transfer, and that they're stealing of the money, so they probably got the notice. I don't know. I don't
Right,
know.
they got the notice. How do you want us to pay you now? I should put that out when I
Yeah, that what's that?
Zell.
Zell, yeah, it's good if that's
And is it
possible.
your,
I
do we
do have
use your,
another PayPal account that wasn't compromised, so if that's easy, you know, if that's easier, it's okay, but I kind of would prefer Zell if that's
yeah. And do
possible.
we use, in Israel, do we use your phone number or
It's well, the
your,
bank is in the States, so it's my email address, smallvoice@netvision.net.il,
small vision.
and my name, Susan Schneider.
Would you mind texting me or spelling all every
Sure.
so it's a still small voice or
SM,
just small
just SML voice, yeah.
SML voice, right? At
Net vision.
thank you, Abby,
Dot
for doing
net.
that.
Dot IL.
Netvision.net.
And then dot IL.
.il. Good. And do they need your name also?
I think so. I think they need
Okay.
Susan Schneider. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, I'll put that out to everybody
Yeah.
when I get all the dates. Good. So you're here next week.
Right, I'm going to be the 8th, I think, of let's see, Parshat Va'era, the 18th.
Is when you're gone.
That Sunday I won't be available, but that's the only
Every
one
other,
I'm going to
no,
miss. Yeah.
18th. The 18th.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put that message out to everybody.
It's actually Parshat Bo. I mean, it's whatever.
Great. Great,
Yeah.
great, great. Good.
Okay. So
Okay, my turkey is ready.
enjoy.
Thank you so much. Take such good
Okay.
care.
Good to be
You
back. By
take
the way,
good
so
care.
anybody do anything special for Hanukkah that you know?
Yeah, we did. We did special for Hanukkah, and we're doing more today. I spent hours wrapping everybody's presents.
Hang on, all. I want to show you something about it. It's a menorah. One minute.
I'd love to see it.
And we did the last night of Hanukkah all together, a whole group of us celebrating, you know, Ruth and Ira celebrating Ira's birthday and also doing the last night of Hanukkah. So we had a gorgeous menorah with oil.
Oh, nice.
That was so beautiful. We had a couple menorahs and yeah, and we yeah,
Wow, that's
it
a
was
special
beautiful.
birthday, Iris, if last night of Hanukkah.
Right. Well,
Hey.
actually, his birth we were supposed to do his birthday the week before, but it was terrible weather. And people were driving in where I am now from Potomac. So they it was going to go down to like 20 degrees and
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
freezing roads and stuff. Yeah. So we canceled it, postponed it till the following. And it was perfect last night of Hanukkah. Yeah.
So I want to
So
show
go
you.
bacha. Yeah, let's hear.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know if you can see this book.
Yeah, the Hanukkah story.
Nine Spoons, a Hanukkah story. And some years ago, when I was teaching Sunday school for a Hanukkah program, I read the sto I told them this story, and the story is basically about in the camps. The some of the adults were like just devastated that they weren't going to be able to do Hanukkah with the children, and so they came up with the idea of making a menorah. This is the shamus. Can you see?
Wow.
From stolen from spoons, and they had a it's a
Oh
very
my
harrowing
God,
experience to steal the spoons.
oh
Oh my God.
wow.
And
Wow.
so
Wow.
my one of my
Wow.
son-in-laws, who is just a brilliant welder,
Ah,
made this
wow.
for me
I
so I
love
could
it. Wow.
so I could
Wow. Wow.
so I could use it in telling the story. And what's so funny is,
Look at that. Just hold it up
yeah,
again.
it
Watch
really is
everything.
amazing.
It's
And
unbelievable.
gorgeous. Yeah, so what's funny is, so I kept going to different stores to try to find spoons. I was trying to buy spoons because I didn't want to use like my own silverware or somebody else's silverware. And none of them would weld properly until finally my mother's silverware that was given to my daughter, who's Carl's wife, that's the only spoons he could weld. So this is from my mother's
That is so incredibly
silverware.
beautiful.
Yeah.
Really.
So
Look at
anyway,
him.
he's very gifted.
He is. And very generous.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so are you. But
Can
well,
sell
thank you.
that. He can sell those.
Oh, he could sell those. That's just, I
He can
mean,
sell those with the. He should connect to the author. Is the author still alive? We'll
Yeah.
start a whole business for him.
I think there's
I'll
already,
share
I think
the
already a marketplace for his work.
Yeah. So
Great,
anyway,
guys.
I just had to share that. It is
Thank you. That's
it's super
beautiful.
pleasure.
That's wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful. Well,
Okay.
good.
All right. Thank you so
Good
much,
morning,
everybody.
everybody. Good to see you
Devoto.
again. Blessings, blessings. Have a good week.